Well, thank the Lord this morning for salvation. It is something to sing about. It is something to be joyful about. And it is something to praise God about. Because salvation came about through no other except through God. Not anything that you and I could have done for ourselves. It's not anything we could have accomplished in our own right. But it's God who had mercy. And we praise Him and worship Him this morning for that. I'd like for us this morning, if we would, to sing the first verse of number 197. First verse of 197. Mine in Christian land. Many times or often in the Bible, the Christian's experience is compared to a race, to an athletic competition. We know that there are things that are to be gained, and we know there are things that we have to be careful for. We know in the Christian race there is training we must undergo, and there's also things that we must lay aside. I'd like to think about this morning about God's exhortation to us about laying aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. And think about our goal, our aim, and I'm sure every one of our heart's desire that are here this morning is to go to heaven and to have a relationship with God that will enable us to go there and to be able to run the race not against one another, but against the adversary, against time, against the pressures, against those subtle influences that try to accompany us and try to just say, well, let me go along with you. If you could this morning, I don't know how to exactly set this little thought in motion, so I'll do the best I can. If this morning I would ask, and I'm not, if I would ask two young men about the same age, same height, same weight, to come up here and stand on the beside me here, and if I asked them, that, and we compared them, and probably one was just as fast as the other one was, they both were physically active, and we were going to say, what we're going to do is, I'm going to ask you to run to the school and back, say. And if I was to ask you, the audience, which one was going to win, based on what you saw, well, you would make different decisions. And you might even say, well, it's just going to be a toss-up. We can't say who's going to win. But if I'd walk over and get a 10-pound weight of some kind and put it on one of them's back, if I would tell one to take off his, maybe his sneakers and put on a pair of steel-toed work boots. Then if I ask the same one to maybe take a yoke of some kind laden down with a, let's just say a sack of bird seed came to my mind. Put those weights on that one young man and the other one, leave him the way he was. Then if I ask you now, who do you think's going to win this race? Well, I have just opened up your choices real easy, hadn't I? We know that endeavoring to win a race, you don't want to have a lot of weight hanging on. And you would obviously say, well, the brother that doesn't have, the young man that doesn't have the weights attached to him. Did you know we're in a race to go to heaven? And I'd like to see what the Word of God talks about today, about you and me laying aside our weights, to recognize that we have something so much better than this world and the accomplishments that maybe this world may or we think may afford us. I'd like to read some scriptures before we get to the main text this morning. Some things that the Bible teaches about, I believe, the Christian experience about Jesus Christ. And we'll briefly mention them. We sang about the first one already. Isaiah 40 and 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the young shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isn't that a wonderful promise? I hope every one of us this morning have that promise in our heart, that it is a personal promise to you and to me, that we don't take it and generalize it out to the church or to some or to a few. But I believe this, I know this great prophecy and this great revelation that Isaiah wrote is going out to whosoever will, that we can win a race, that we can be joyful, that we cannot be weary, that we can mount up with wings, that we can be as the eagle that soars in the heavens. I believe God has an experience for us that rises above the things of earth. I believe the Lord has an experience for us where we don't have to be encumbered, that we don't have to be laden down, that the things that do come occasionally wouldn't fix themselves on us, but that we'd be able to lay them aside. Over in John 8 and 36, he said, if the Son shall make you free, Jesus Christ, said you'll be free indeed. This word indeed can be translated truly, absolutely, positively, without question. This morning, I think as we think about our Christian race, and remember we're racing, if you will, or running rather, to go to heaven. We're running that we might be in a light and an example, that we might be a testimony of the graces and the power and the majesty of God. We're running with purpose. We're running for a reason. We're running that we might gain something that is attainable to every one of us, something the Lord has given to us. And in the process, we can be happy in the race. I remember, it's been a couple of years ago now, we were at a certain party's house, and it was in Dallas area, and it was a birthday party for my youngest son. And this family where the little birthday party was, they had a swimming pool. And the couple that owned the house and the swimming pool had children, of course, and they had one little child that, the child is not very much to make a lot of expressions. But she had come up to the edge of the swimming pool. She had a little life jacket on. And she would jump over into that swimming pool. And she's little now. And she would come out of that water, as the saying goes, grinning from ear to ear. She was thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying going down in that water and coming back up and bobbing up a few times, and she couldn't wait to scurry around to the side there and climb up and go do it again. I believe God wants us to enjoy the race. I believe God wants us to enjoy the trip. He wants us to be free, unencumbered. He wants us to be set free from the attitudes and from sin. He wants us to lay aside those feelings and those emotions that sometimes rise up in us and would steal our joy. The Lord this morning wants us to run this race not hindered by self. He wants us to come to a place where self has been crucified, where the life of a Christian is more to us than anything else. Free indeed. Truly free. Absolutely free. Without question free. So I would challenge me and you this morning. Let's look at our lives. How are we running this race? Have we let some things attach to us? Do you know when they build a new pond, they normally stock it with some fish? But did you know if they never stock that pond, the wildlife people or the pond owner, Did you know it's a good chance, in fact, it's almost certain that eventually there'd be fish in that pond? And you'd say, how do they get there? Well, there's maybe different ways, but one is birds go feed in this pond over here that has fish. They wade around and they get fish eggs on their feet. Then they go over to this pond and they washing and scurrying around. The eggs come off, and after a while, you've got a pond over here that's got fish in it. I'm thinking about you and me are kind of like that bird sometimes. We go places, things happen, life has events, we have emotions, feelings, etc. And things sometimes, if we're not careful, get attached to us. And after a while, if we're not careful, they'll begin to grow. The Lord wants us free that we can run this race with joy and happiness, with thanksgiving. Well, there's another scripture in John 10 and 9 that we'll be able to go in and out and find pasture. You know, a lot of times we feel like we're hungry, or we feel that we just don't have the latitude or the freedom to be able to enjoy the things God has prepared for us. But I'm thankful today that the Lord wants us to be free, and free indeed, that we can find pasture. And may I say, good pasture. Pasture that has the right elements in it. Not the food of this world, and not the things of this world that last for a very small season, if they last at all. But God has some enduring things, some things that last unto eternal life. He wants us to go out and find that bread of life, that river of living water. He wants us to go out and drink from that and eat in that pasture and not be thirsty and hungry and emaciated. God wants us to be, can I say, healthy? God wants us to be healthy Christians, a good example. This is what the Lord can do. Trees of righteousness. We ought to be willing to say, Lord, am I indeed a tree of righteousness? Can I be classified as a planting of the Lord, and that in the seasons of life I bring forth fruit, I bring forth those things that you treasure, that you accept, and that you yourself, God of heaven, might be glorified? We need to look from time to time into the Word of God and recognize how much God has afforded us that we can go in and out and find the pasture, find all the blessings that the Lord has for us. Over in 2 Corinthians 3 and 17, 2 Corinthians 3 and 17, he said, "And the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Remember, we're running in a Christian race. And we all understand that if you go down to Walmart, buy a 50-pound bag of bird seed, you're not going to run as fast. You're not going to run as long. You're going to tire out quicker. You're going to have to come to a place that you have to lay that burden down, or it'll lay you down. You just can't go on with it. God wants us to recognize that He wants to liberate us. Wants to liberate us. He wants to liberate us individually. And I'm not speaking this morning accusatory. I'm speaking in a general sense, but I'm speaking directly to us also. The Lord wants to liberate us. He wants to free us from any weight, any baggage, anything that He didn't put in our life or give to us. His grace is sufficient for all our tests and all our trials. But folks, I don't believe the Lord wanted us to go out and hunt things, court things, indulge in things, so His grace could abound in us. Life is going to give us and present us with enough that we will need grace for. I don't need to go out and court and say, hey, can I? And then come on, go with, and then the grace of God is going to get rid of this thing. You know, we're fooling ourselves then. But the Lord does want to liberate us. He wants to liberate us in our home. Husbands and wives. Parents and children. Siblings. He wants to liberate us that we actually enjoy the family. He wants to liberate us in a congregation. That where the Spirit of God is, there is true liberty. There's freedom. There's no intimidation. Oh, there's always, probably should be some bashfulness at times. I'm not talking about that. But God wants to let my light shine and your light shine. He wants us to have an experience with Him where you and me can stand boldly in the face of the enemy, come before the God of heaven with boldness or confidence as it would be, that you and I can minister in the family of God with a confidence. I'm clear with God. I am free of sin. I have laid aside those weights. Now I'm running with patience. Well, down through the ages of history, you know what God has had? In spite of all the calamities of life, God has had a faithful people. God has had men and women who have run the race successfully. And I'm glad to know this morning that I have known some of them. And I know some of them. I'm glad history recounts them, but I'm glad they're still saints today. Saints who are free in the Spirit, washed in the blood, men and women who have found the true pasture of the Lord, that they have the liberty of conscience. They have the liberty of the past. It's clean. It's washed. They have the liberty of their mind. It's free. It's not polluted. They have the liberty in their attitudes. Their attitudes are undefiled by selfish emotions and desires, but they are centered on Jesus Christ. God has a people that way, and praise the Lord for that. Those who have enjoyed and those who are enjoying the liberty and the freedom of full salvation. You know, it's a piecemeal is not really a thing that I enjoy as a whole. I'd much rather receive all that I have coming instead of saying, well, I'll get a little piece here and maybe some more later, but really I don't expect to receive the full blessing or the full reward or the whatever it may be. But did you know God wants to give us a full reward? He wants to give us full salvation. He wants our joy this morning to be indeed full. And I'm glad that I know people that are enjoying that this morning. I'm glad the Bible teaches about men and women under persecution and under trials. They were absolutely free, totally 100%. Their conscience was undefiled. Men and women who have fought a good fight. Men and women whose examples we'd be safe to follow after. Oh, thank the Lord this morning for these things. You remember the song that kind of got turned into a less than a gospel song, I guess, but originally it was and still is when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number too. And I want to be in that number today because we're going to have to get in the number so we can be in the number when the saints go to that wonderful abode of the blessed. This morning, God wants us to win the race. He wants us to be faithful. So I think about then that God in heaven is no respect of person. One of the downfalls of people, or one of the hindrances, I should say, to mankind, is that we, although we say God is no respect of person, we act like He is a respect of person. Because we see a cloud of witnesses who were faithful and true and were joyful in tribulation, who took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, and men and women who hazard and have hazard and are hazarding in their lives for the gospel's sake. And we admire that and we appreciate that, but we ourselves will fall short of that liberty and that freedom, and we believe God did it for them, but we kind of hedge on whether God will do it for us or not. The Bible said that He's no respect of person. No songwriter said it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. God has this liberty and this freedom for every one of us. We mentioned this scripture in part. I'd like to turn now over into Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Think about it a little bit. Hebrews 12, and just perhaps Well, we'll look at the first two verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that's no doubt the ones that he was speaking of in the 11th chapter, but you and me know it's way more than just the few. The writer said time wouldn't permit. We just couldn't go into detail, he said. You and me today have a myriad of witnesses that you and I can look back on. He said that we have this great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank the Lord this morning that he offers you and me a means and a way and an opportunity to win the race. To win the race with joy and to lay aside everything that would hinder us, cause us to stumble, and cause you and me to fall short of the joy and the glory and the peace that God has bestowed upon his people. The writer said here that we lay aside every weight. I believe that's self-explanatory when it comes to laying something aside. Maybe you're fixing to work in the kitchen, and you're going to be working with grease, and you're going to be working with flour. And one thing I would do if I was going to make some biscuits or bread, one of the flour, some chicken, one of the first things I'd do is take off my coat. I'd lay it aside. We understand that. If we're going to do some exercise or maybe do something that requires a lot of range of motion and we have on some kind of restricted clothing, we may lay that aside some way. Something that restricts or hinders or something that is not good for the action that we're going to do, we lay that aside. We put it over here. We get it out of our way so it doesn't encumber us, so it doesn't cause us to be our range of motion. And maybe it's, we'll put this glass of water aside. If I was one of those preachers that let my hands go every which way all the time, I might say that's a little too close. It's going to hinder my ability to swing my arms or whatever. We understand, and the Bible said those weights that so doth easily beset us and those sins. Let us lay aside those things. In the Greek, it's interesting, this phrase that said, so easily beset us. In the Strong said it this way, those things that are just standing around. It's kind of like those fish eggs in the pond. And they're just there. And if you get too close to them, you're going to pick them up on your feet or on your hands or your boat. There's a snail that is not good for the Oklahoma waters and causes decline in the fish population. And it's a snail that it attaches the larva, the little snails will attach to your boat. And they ask you if you're going to go fishing within 5 days after you've been to a certain body of water, that you wash your boat first to get those things off so you don't transport them over into another lake. You know, one of the bad things, too, about weights is they're hereditary. And a lot of people, not on purpose, but through some means of selfishness, they pass along weights to those people that look to them for guidance. And they not only are handicapped themselves, but they instill that handicap in their children. They instill that handicap in their wife or in their husband. We need to be careful that we realize the weights, the things that would so easily beset me, those hindrances that they're standing around, they're not only something that's going to trouble you or me, but they're contagious. And they can cause trouble in the home or in the workplace, or they can cause trouble in the congregation. This word, so easily beset us, can mean competition. And there's a lot of competition for my soul and your soul. There's a lot of competition for my allegiance and your allegiance. It's not like there's just one devil and we got him marked with an X. But he'll come as a wolf. He'll come as in sheep's clothing. He'll come as a roaring lion. He'll come in all manner of disguises. He's competing against God for my soul. He's wanting to laden me down with things. He wants to laden me down with duties that are not from God, with habits, with entertainment. Brother Michael spoke to us about the other night about things we listen to. He wants to crowd in and laden us down that when I do think, I don't have time to think about the Lord. I've got these other things I have to think about. And he wants to prioritize them. He wants to compete and put his things, his agenda, up at the top of the list. Prioritize what I ought to do, what I think, and my feelings and my emotions. So they so easily beset us. They want to hinder the race in every direction. They're so, and the devil has placed them there. Now, let's be wise, and let's be observant, and let's be honest this morning with ourselves. Let's have keen eyesight. Let's look to the Lord. Let's not just blindly rush through life and say, come what may. But listen, there are evil, and there is evil, but thank God there is good. And we have a choice of what we put on. I believe Paul said, put off the things concerning the former conversation. Put those things off. Take them away. Don't have anything to do with them. Denounce them. They'll hinder our liberty. And he named off quite a long list of things. May we this morning recognize that we want to lay aside the weights that are trying to hinder our progress and take the joy out of salvation. Take the peace out of salvation. To take that beautiful, innocent testimony out of salvation. He wants to take away from the authority of the saints. He wants to take away from our prayers. He wants to take away from our witness. He wants to laden us with things so that we can't run this race with patience. This word, so easily beset, is also in Strong's to mean skillfully surrounded. We don't like to think of the devil as smart, but I believe he is. I believe he's cunning. I believe he knows how to corner us and box us in. I believe he knows how to skillfully weave the web where maybe we don't even see it and catch us in that web. And then he begins to bind us even more so. The devil is skillful, but praise God, God is greater. God is wiser. God has given us that we may not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. So this morning, we need to recognize there are things that beset us. And perhaps someone, some of us, have been beset. And he gave us some instructions here. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that's just lurking, that's being trying to be weaved into our life, the competitor that was trying to cause you and me to lose the race. And he said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It wasn't for me or for you to dictate the race. The Lord set that before us. We heard the other night that the Lord is holy, and he called us to be holy. That's the ground rules, folks. We can't get away from that. Without holiness, we're not going to see the Lord. It's a holy way. It's a pure way. And those who would endeavor to run the race must be holy. There's no getting around that. There's no sidetracking that. Sectarian world has tried to devise other means and tried to justify sin and justify weights and make excuses for things. But we heard the other night, the bottom line is we must be holy. And that's the race. It's a holy race. And we'll read a scripture about that in a minute. But he said, let us run with patience. This word patience is an interesting word in the Greek also. It means to run with cheerful or hopeful endurance. The Bible speaks to us about running the race with a smile on our face, being cheerful in our soul, hopeful, knowing that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, knowing that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Was it in Pilgrim's Progress? And it's been years since I've read that. But was it not Pilgrim was on his way up to the celestial city and he had to pass by a place that was guarded by lions? And those lions were tenacious and made such a noise, but he had to go by them. But as he got closer, and if I'm not getting it quite right, correct me, but as he got by, he found that those lions had been tethered. They had a rope on them, if you will. God, the God of heaven, it will protect this way, folks. He'll protect you and me in it. And we can run joyfully with expectation. We can run cheerfully. We can run with hope. This race that is set before us with endurance, knowing greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, this morning, let's run the race. Let's run it as vibrant, alive, blood-washed Christians, knowing in whom we have believed, looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher of the faith, not looking to the left or the right, not taking our eyes off of the goal, not getting our eyes on the pleasures of sin or the rights of the flesh or the appetites of the flesh and getting distracted. I would venture to say this morning that if we had to run, any of us, from here to the school and back, and we had to stay in a particular lane, every one of us would know, if I'm going to run the race and if I'm going to get there and back, I'm not running against anybody, but I got to go there and I got to go back and I can't get out of this prescribed lane. We would know, we'd have to watch where we're going. We couldn't just, hey man, come on and follow me and look around. We couldn't be pointing up at the birds in the sky or thinking, oh, there's briars over here. We'd have to keep our eyes on where we wanted to go. If we didn't, I want to tell you what would happen. You ever tried to drive a car and look to the left or the right and go straight? Can't do it very long, can you? Lord, help us this morning, looking to Jesus. And this skillful devil, this competitor of my soul, is whispering, talking, making noise over here, making things over here go on, trying to get me to look over here. Lord, help us to have those, I don't like to use the word blinder, but for lack of a better word, those gospel blinders on, that we see Jesus, and Jesus only. And in seeing Jesus, we see the promises, and we see the grace. And I want to lay aside everything that begins to beset me. It's a race we can win, folks, because God has already paid the price. The way has been made, and He's there at the, you know, we've had a couple of messages on the high priest. Our high priest is there, and our high priest is touched with the feelings and our infirmities. He's been tempted in all points like as we are. Now we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, at the throne of grace. We can come boldly with confidence, knowing in whom we have. It's a race we can win this morning. But we've got some things to do. We've got to keep ourselves on the altar, as the saying may go. We've got to keep our heart open. And when feelings and emotions and temptations and the entertainment of this world and all the things that skillfully have been placed logistically just at the right place, where I'll notice that, you know, there's things that will distract us all around. But you know, sometimes if we get to minding one thing over here that we're a little miffed about or hurt about or disappointed about or feeling a little pouty about, have you ever noticed from right looking at that one thing right there, have you ever noticed how many other things start cropping up too? Satan skillfully deploys them where you and I get our eyes off of the Lord. First thing you know, we start seeing things that we shouldn't be looking at. Hurts, whatever we want to think, are manifest. And the first thing you know is we get to looking on all kind of little obstacles out there. Satan does that. And if you and I are not prayerful, if we don't have a good closet experience with the Lord in the sense that we not only pray in public, but we spend time and devotion to God in prayer alone, I want to tell you something. We can pick up some weights. If we don't read the Word of God and read it with understanding and read it in the Spirit and read it to study it and to apply it, folks, we can pick up some weights. The weight of God will, the Word of God is a sword and He'll cut off those weights. If we'll take time to read it and say, the Word says, and believe it and apply it to our life. But if I start making excuses for my way, it's in contradiction to the Word, that old weight is just going to cement itself a little more to my life. Confess your faults, the Bible teaches. We need to acknowledge our weights. We need to acknowledge those things that are hindering us. And I want to say something else. We've got to want to get rid of them. We can't just say, oh, take this away. No, we've got to be willing to let God cut it loose. We've got to let the gospel touch our lives to the point it changes us, makes us new, and the old things pass away at our insistence. Not only by the blood of the Lord. I know He does the work in the washing, but we've got to insist, folks, about these old weights and hang on to us. We've got to insist they go. You know, you tell a child something and you half-heartedly mean it. You know the results of that. One time my little granddaughter was old enough to talk. She and Karen was in the living room and they had a big old book. I mean, a big old book. Reading it, looking at it. Craig came into the room and he said, Jessica, you need to put that book up. Time to go to bed or something like that. Jessica kind of looked at it and kept on playing. He didn't really mean it enough. And that child went on. Well, Karen insisted that they put it up. That child went right on. Went right on. Folks, we've got to mean it. We've got to be in earnest about laying aside our weights. If we don't, they're going to stay on there. They're going to stay attached to every one of us. Satan has skillfully, with you in mind. You know, we think about Jesus and God having done things with us in mind. Well, praise God. He did. And He does. But I'm going to tell you something else. You know, there's a song we used to hear on the radio some. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Talking about Jesus. Praise God for that. I'm going to tell you something else. We're on the devil's mind. God has good things prepared for them that love Him. And He's revealing them to us by His Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. Satan's got bad things in mind for you. He's got your name written down. Jesus got your name written down. I believe Satan. The Bible doesn't just say that per se. But I believe Satan's got your name written down somewhere on a hit list. And I'm going to skillfully get something in their life. And they're going to get caught up in some kind of worldly activity or their business. Or they're going to look at themselves in the mirror and say, I want to be prettier. You know, whatever. Somebody hurt my feelings. I'm going to skillfully make that so right to them. And they are going to just sink their teeth into right into wrong or making themselves more beautiful or knowing all the latest songs or whatever. Self-righteousness. I'm going to let them sink their teeth into it. Skillfully. Skillfully. Lord, help us this morning to lay aside every weight. Over in Galatians, the writer spoke to them, and we won't go into all the purposes of the letter, but let's read something that Paul wrote to them in Galatians 5, 7 through 9. Speaking to a church, to a congregation that had known the Lord, and we won't say they didn't totally know Him at this point, but some things had gone wrong, and they had tried to Judaize the congregation. And in the 7th verse of the 5th chapter of Galatians, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You know, sometimes when we get our eyes off of Jesus, it becomes obvious pretty quick. thoughts, actions, deeds, habits. Various things start creeping in, and we find ourselves a little less obedient to the Word of God, a little neglectful of the Word of God. He said, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth him." Praise God, that's the truth. That the Lord doesn't call us away from him. He doesn't call us to go into another direction. But he said, "This persuasion comes from your enemy." This is a carefully laid out plan to put weights on your life. It will introduce you to sports. It will introduce you to hobbies. This thing will introduce you to secular ideas. It'll introduce you to religious ideas. It'll come up and tell you that you've got a monopoly on the Holy Ghost and that everything you know is the absolute way it's got to be. Pride, vanity, and try to attach itself to you that will hear. He said, you did. At one time, you was running well. This morning, are there any of us here today that we can look back and say, there was a time I enjoyed it. There was a time I was happy in the Lord. There was a time the race seemed so wonderful and so full of hope. What happened? Did we lose some of that? Did God do that to us? Did God say, I'm going to sprinkle some nails in their way? I don't believe. He said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth him. Lord, help us this morning to look at our race. Jesus spoke to them in the 8th chapter of Luke in the 14th verse, and he spoke this to them. He said, the cares of life, the riches of life, choked out the word. Weights. Weights that are so easy to accumulate if we're not in touch with God. May I say to us this morning, our only hope is Jesus Christ. Our only hope is to stay close to him. The writer said, looking, eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ, upon his word. This morning, this world would like to choke out by bringing so much into your time. I marvel at us as humans, how we can get so busy with this life and forsake our soul. That's a strange thing about us. And you know, who among us has a hope on this earth of living forever? Your hobbies? Do you think this morning your hobby is going to last you forever? Do you think your job is going to last you forever? Is this something you've got to focus on so much because that's your destiny is, and you've got to do it forever? You know, sometimes we get feelings and emotions kind of out on our sleeves. We get our feelings hurt and we get crossways with someone or something. Do you think that's all there is to life? Is that event going to last forever? I question it. Probably won't last in anybody's mind but yours for a little while. And other people can find the grace, put it behind them, and go on. And maybe you or me are sitting there all sullen. And like, this has just got to go on forever. One songwriter said, how long will it take for us to realize that this world is not the paradise? But don't we live sometimes and gain more of it and want more of it and defend it and hold on to it as if this is it? Folks, we're going to leave it all. Yes, there is responsibility and there is stewardship. But there's getting too much of this world also. And they become weights. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. I wonder sometimes in the midst of that if we'd say, I got to pray. I got to do this. I got to read the Bible. And just stop ourselves. Wait a minute. Could it be these errands I've got to run that I think are so important? Didn't you have some last week? And won't you have some next week? Now is the day of salvation. Now is the opportunity. Redeem this precious thing called time. I want to tell you a lie that Satan perpetrates on us in our subconscious. Because none of us would admit this, I don't believe. But in our subconscious, I got plenty of time. I can get it fixed up with Jesus sometime. I got time. Now, we wouldn't just come along and say that. We've got to be presumptuous, we know. But sometimes our life and the way we conduct ourselves tells on us. Looking to Jesus. Why look to Jesus? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a good reason to look to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Word was made flesh. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld Him, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That's another good reason. Grace of God. The power of God. The Word of God. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And if we walk with Him and abide in Him, that we'll not abide in darkness. That's a good reason, see, to look to Jesus. I want to tell us something. We as people can get in darkness real quick. So we're running a race. Let's lay aside every weight. Let's lay aside every sin. Those things that Satan maybe has skillfully intertwined in your life, has put some kind of false value on it in your life. He has disguised it as a right you have, a responsibility you have, to take your eyes at least for a minute or two off of Jesus. And in that minute or two, folks, we can make serious errors. What's the song say? Lest the doors of the left unguarded for a moment or something like that, an evil thought shall enter there. Satan wants to get us to blink. He wants us to get to look to ourselves. The Lord told us in Isaiah 35:8 about a highway of holiness. And He said in that highway of holiness, no unclean thing can pass over. And it'll be a way that we don't have to err therein. We don't have to stumble around in. This morning, the way of holiness. That's the race. That's the pathway. That's what shines more and more to the perfect day. That's what we want to be on, folks. That's what we've got to stay on. If we get out of that, we've got to start our works over again. He said the ransom of the Lord will be on that road, highway. And said with songs of everlasting joy. We're a band, the songwriter said, a band of happy pilgrims. Oh, this morning, don't let God, the devil, rather steal your happiness and get it focused on, by focusing you on other things. So this morning, how's your joy? How's your liberty? Is our song a song of praise or a song of woe is me? Is it a song of the world, of distractions, of fears, of anger, of jealousy, of greed? It is it a song of pride and a song of vanity? Or is it a song of thanksgiving? A song of hope? A song of purpose? A song I know in whom I have believed? A song that tells me I have a home prepared for me? Think about it this morning. And we have accumulated something. You know what the Lord wants to do? He wants us to let go of it. But not only does He want to let go of it, us to let go of it. But He wants to enable us to let go of it. Over in Hebrews again, 12 and 6 and 7, the Lord chasteneth those He loves. Thank God for that. He corrects us. He visits us and He warns us. So this morning, if you and me start getting too close to a weight, getting too close to something that wants to latch on and slow us and hinder us. If we start taking our eyes off of God, least little bit, He said, I love you so much, I'm going to correct you. I have a responsibility, and you do also, to take that correction and implement it. Put it to work right then. Don't say, I'll think about it. Was it the ruler there Paul was talking to, Felix, he said at a more convenient season. How many souls have been lost waiting for a convenient season? I wonder what hell is like today of the people with good intentions at a better time, at another place. I'm going to do something about this thing I got in my life. And they died without taking care of it. I wonder what hell is going to be like, the eternal hell. Full of good intentions, perhaps. Over in Hebrews 12, then, we're going to finish up. To allow the Lord to chasten us, or to be chastened by the Lord, and to allow Him to chasten us and submit to that chastening, folks, that'll help us. It'll enable us to lay aside those weights. Over in Hebrews 12 and 11, maybe through the 14th verse. Now, no chastening for the moment present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. Thinking about this highway of holiness. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. A message this morning of, in part now, of letting it be healed. Because you see, these weights injure us. These weights hurt our eyesight. When I hurt my leg almost 2 years ago, it changed the way I walked. My shoes actually wore out in different places than where they did. It changed me. And until it was healed, I didn't walk the same as I did before I injured my leg. The Lord wants to heal us. If we've taken on the weights of this world, the weights of the flesh, if we've stepped out of the race, off of the road of holiness, God is going to correct us. He is correcting us. And He wants us to come back. And He wants us to be healed this morning. He said to make straight paths for our feet. Interesting what this word can mean in the Greek. It means to walk erect. Perpendicular to something. In this case, walking perpendicular to the earth, in other words. It means not to walk bent over. Why would man walk bent over? Disease? Loads, weights. You know, you might be able to pick up a 50-pound sack of feed, some of you younger men, and walk just as straight up as you can. And you think, God, it's nothing. Somebody like me looks at, look at his back, how straight it is. And when I pick it up, and I kind of walk this way. You know. But the young man picks it up, throws it on his shoulder, and starts walking like it's not there. Let him walk. Long enough. And he'll do this. He'll start walking like I started walking to begin with. We weren't designed, folks, to carry the weight of this world, the weight of sin, and the weights of the devil. We were created in holiness to be on the highway of holiness. No beast, no sin, no afflictions of this world upon us. But Satan came along and said, why, this is not heavy, but look at the pretty top on it. Why, you can have this and carry it around with you. Oh, it was not bad at all. That's why we get fiddling with it and playing with it. And we, instead of walking this way, we kind of wander over this way. That's why we spill it on us and stains us. Then we get this odor, and then we say, oh, well, that's nothing. That's just, and we start justifying it. You know how it goes. The Lord said, let me chasten you. And then come and let me heal you. Let me touch your life. Let me make you whole. Let me help you take that old weight off of your shoulder so you can walk erect and not bent over. This morning, maybe you're walking bent over. Maybe I don't know about it. I probably don't. Don't need to know, but God knows. Your heart's bent. Your mind is bent over. And you really realize I am carrying loads on me that I wish weren't there. God says, rather let it be healed. There's healing in Jesus Christ this morning. If I've stepped out of the way, if I've taken my eyes off of Him, if I've taken on weights that didn't belong to me, there's healing for that. And I can make a straight path. I can walk erect before God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I can be on this highway of holiness, this highway of righteousness. Thank God this morning. So, my little thought now is, a little invitation. Do you have some weights that you'd like to get rid of? One little other thought. When I was a boy in high school, I used to lift weights, you know, play sports some, and do those kind of things. Hope I can do this. You get to lifting weights, and you think, well, say you're doing curls, bench press, and you get to doing those, and start off, you know, you keep a straight face. But I want to tell you something. After so many repetitions, whatever it might be, corners of your mouth start picking. I'm serious. First thing you know, you'll start making all kind of little movements. Wait up. You'll like this. But it affects your countenance. Affects your whole body. If you're laying down on the beach, you might be trying to pick that leg up. Trying to get that weight. Something you wasn't meant to carry. These old weights that Satan allows and you allow and I allow to come, they're meant to distort us and take away the image of the beauty of Jesus Christ. So the little message is now, the good news is that we can come and we can be healed of those weights and the lameness that comes because of those weights. You pray for me.